Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back to In Conversation. And with me, Mohamed Fasik, and also Ibrahim Kangwa Chibwe. And we now focus on keeping fit for Ramadan. I don't think we generally care too much about exercise. And I think it's really sad that we don't, because in the month of Ramadan, we tend to pick up a little bit of weight, we eat a little bit more, and also, you know, we still need to keep fit, we still need to keep our body mass index, or BMI, down. And so, yeah, we're going to be talking about fitness, and today we'll be focusing on karate, a form of exercise. It's also not just a discipline in the sense of martial arts, but also it's sort of a life philosophy as well. Joining me online is Sali Sayed, is a grandmaster for Karate K, or a Karate K, if I'm not mistaken. Sali, assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you? Is it Mohamed Fasik?
That is correct. I'm doing fantastic, alhamdulillah. I've always been a fan of karate, so I'm eagerly, you know, looking forward to this interview. Before we start talking about physical fitness as a whole, I mentioned that karate is more of a life philosophy. Is that true?
Absolutely. When I was asked a question, when I asked my teacher in Japan in 1974, I asked him the question, what is karate? Now, the teacher I'm talking about is a man called Masuyama, one of the greatest karate masters that has ever lived, right? He, in this century, Masuyama was this gentleman that that was the power of his karate. He was able to kill bulls with one punch, right, square in the forehead and take the horns of the bulls off. So this is the man I'm talking about, right? So I was in Japan to study karate, and in 1975, I asked him the question, explain to me, like, I'm going back home. Now we go back to 75, you know, karate was really introduced in South Africa. I would say it became, by the white guys, around about in the early 60s, right? And I started in 1965. And then when I finished school and, you know, did a course in college, become a draftsman, I then left for Japan. So coming back to the story. So Masuyama said to me, karate is the science, psychology, and philosophy of fighting. If you look at this, this encapsulates exactly what karate means. It's a science. If you take science on its own, it's a massive, subject, am I right? Psychology, another massive subject on its own. And philosophy, another massive subject. So science, psychology, and philosophy are fighting. Now, when two human beings, the first, you know, Ramapithecus or wherever they were that saw each other, they didn't run and hug each other and say, buddy. They looked at each other and one was a threat to the other. Maybe one of the guys had a girlfriend holding her hair, pulling her from the back, you know, like we see the cartoons, right? And what happened was they looked at each other and saw each other as threats, and they started throwing stones at each other. According to history, this is when when human beings first met each other, they started fighting. There was this conflict, this aggression of fighting. So fighting goes back to the time when we first see human beings on this earth. You know what I mean, right? So that's why he calls it the science, psychology and philosophy of fighting. So as years and years went by, and throughout, you know, the genesis of the martial arts, we find that karate started becoming very scientific in India already. So the karate we know today, I trace its history back to a place in South India called Kerala, and that is the art of Kalaripayat. Now, if you look at Kalaripayat, it's an Indian art. It's called a village fighting art of Kalaripayat. Kalaripayat influenced what we see today in China called Kung Fu. So you'll see the similar movements. According to history, a man called Bodhidharma, an Indian monk from Kerala, from that South Indian area, traveled across the Himalayas, went into China, and introduced Zen Buddhism to the Chinese. And he, in his travels, he obviously, came across great dangers, especially highwaymen and animals and whatever it was. And he took the art of calligraphy through to China. And in China, it redeveloped and became, you know, structured as, and today we know it as Kung Fu. From China, we hear that the Okinawan people of the Okinawan island traveled a lot between China and Japan and Okinawa, and they picked up some the art of Kung Fu from the Chinese, but they already had a fighting art called Te or Chi in Okinawa, which meant hand, just hand, right? And if you look at the word karate, comes out from that word Te. So it started becoming developed, and of course we know that the Okinawans were overrun by the Koreans at some time in the history, then the Chinese, and afterwards the Japanese, and the Japanese are there till today. So these poor agricultural people had to learn how to fight, because the oppressors were always trying to keep them down. They kept their weapons away, and it is, history tells us that they learned to use their farming implements and made them into weapons, and then took on the great samurai warriors, and very successfully. Going with, you know, fast forwarding a bit, we find that the emperor of Japan, while visiting Okinawa one year, he was very impressed by what he saw as a demonstration of karate, and through a judo master, he was invited. The karate master called Gichin Funakoshi was invited to Japan, and that's when karate was introduced into Japan. So actually, karate is from Okinawa, and if you go further back, it's in China. It comes from China, and if you go further back, it comes from India. So if you look at these places like India and China, these are such old cultures that we hear about science, we hear about mathematics, you know. The alphabet, and the numbers, the zero, and all that comes from these places, you know what I mean? So this is how karate started developing, and that's why the old master said it's the science, psychology, and philosophy of fighting. So it's not about, you know, the true essence of karate is not about fighting, but it's about not fighting, but how to, you know, learn to fight so that you don't have to fight. You know what I mean? You never, if you know how to fight, you find that there's no need to fight. You know, that's the old philosophy of karate, right? So, yeah, but the other part of it is what I look at it as a Muslim, the fighting of the nafs. One of my teachers said to me, karate is not about self-defense, it's about self-attack. So look at that when you think about fighting the nafs. Isn't it about self-attacking, attacking your nafs?
Also, I like that philosophy because we are in the month of training the nafs.
Yes.
And so definitely I think there's something to be said about how we engage. And it's that battle is very much an aggressive one, having to train what is a very wild nature of human being to be somewhat subdued. I think we've only got about maybe 2 minutes left, but in those 2 minutes,
okay.
That's going to be probably...
okay.
Probably a heavy task to put into context, but
yeah.
If we talk about karate and the discipline, yeah. I mean you've traveled all over the world and you have all of this experience, but for someone who has watched, you know, Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3, seen a few martial arts movies, seen a few demonstrations on YouTube, and really doesn't know much about the discipline, what would you say is the one thing that karate has taught you through the years, as much as a martial art, but a life philosophy, that you feel could benefit particularly younger people?
Yes. Okay, so to me, karate, as I said, science, psychology, and philosophy of fighting, to me, it has benefited me in almost every aspect of my life. Physically, from the point of view of the actual hard physical training that I had to endure when I was studying in Japan and America, mentally and emotionally, where one has to be, you know, your one's will has to be strong to endure getting through this kind of difficult time and difficult training, you know what I mean? And what was my blessing was, while I was in Japan, I also studied at the Zen temple. I learned the method or let's say the science of meditation. Now, we as Muslims, we've learned, we've got a prescription of meditation, I say. We have the prescription of meditation. In other words, we've got five salahs a day, and we need to stand on this musalla and meditate our prayers in such a way that our mind is totally, absolutely surrendered to our Creator. And you and I know how difficult that is, simply because we that are not Arabic-speaking people find it more difficult because we didn't learn how the translation of what we are praying, right? What happened to me was in the Zen temples, I learned the methodology of meditation. In other words, I was taught how to meditate, how to focus on something and keep your mind focused on this very aspect. This comes from my training in karate as well, because the two go together. When you are punching and kicking, when you're fighting and you're standing and facing an opponent that's stronger and bigger than you, you have to have your wits all around you. You've got to be focused in every, you know, sense of the word. Otherwise, you are down on the ground. You're going to be flat on that back, on your back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So learning how to, the methodology of meditation through Zen teachings, unfortunately, I would imagine that if I was taught by, and me was taught by Sufi sheikhs, we would have probably also have learned the Sufi meditation way, which is to me almost similar to the Zen meditation system. Okay, the Sufis have mastered the art of losing themselves in the in the Almighty. Total surrendering to Almighty, am I right?
And also, what I find the in that comparison is all about the training of self, the training of the individual in order for that person to ascend.
Yes.
So I find that a tremendous comparison. And also, I think at the end of the day, it just goes to show that in order to effect change in the world, you have to start with yourself, subhanAllah. I want to say, Grandmaster Sadi Sayed, shukran so much for joining me on the show this afternoon, and a very interesting discussion. I would like to have you back sometime as we engage more on karate, something that I've loved as a kid, although I've never had the physique for it. But shukran so much for joining me. All the best, and Ramadan Kareem.
Thank you so much. I just want to say one thing. Ibrahim was saying that we want to maybe run a weekly program for the Ramadan month.
Inshallah. So we look forward to having those engagements around the practical aspect of inshallah.
Inshallah. I will explain that in the next interview we'll talk about the 10 days, the first 10 days, the second 10 days, and the third 10 days, how each of the 10 days in the Ramadan can be dedicated to certain things, so that by the time we end the fasting month, we have accomplished a great deal of physical, mental, spiritual growth, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. All the best. And
thank you very much. Thank you, listeners. Inshallah, we'll all benefit from this month. And Allah bless everyone.
Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
In conversation on The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM.
Suid-Afrika uitgerol word en